Yeah, just yeah. Back here. Yeah. No, no, no. No, up I think on it. I think up on it. Get up now. I'm a big like kind of I kind of just get that's my technique is to yeah, I don't care. I don't care about the, I think those little noises.
Those are what make me mean.
You meet the listener meets you.
Sure.
Because what you want, it's like there's two different vibes that you could give podcasting wise. You could have a vibe of we're having a conversation yeah. and you're in the room with us. Mm-hmm. Or it could be like ASMR a little bit. It could be a little bit like I'm coming up behind you
yeah.
and I'm going to talk to you about what I mean, I think.
When do you think people are listening to this? Right.
Oh, that's, yeah. That's I mean, about, is I know night, what is I know what my people are doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Is this a before bedtime kind this of show? Is,
oh, it's definitely a bedtime show. They never make it to the end yeah. of one of these. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. This is all just late night. You've wound down, right? And you're just going to listen to us rattle off about some video games that we like. That's yeah. what the show is.
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it's called Old. I don't even know if you know the name of the show.
No, I've been too scared to ask. I was trying to navigate that. I tried to fish it out a few times, but you were tight with it.
That you almost pulled off the greatest heist ever, which would be to be a guest on a podcast of the name that you don't know.
There was a chance it was. Yeah, I have no idea.
It's called Old Gamers Almanac, okay. like Old Farmers Almanac.
Yes, I understand.
It's that type of podcast name where you come up with it and you're like, wow, this is clever. And then we made the art to it. We're like, wow, this is great. And then by like week five, I'm like, I'm done with it. It's not making me happy anymore. But there's no way to come up with a title of anything. I mean, the other show is called Space Cats Peace Turtles. Yeah. So like, they're not winning.
Names are hard.
Names are hard, and it's hard to like just keep them fresh and exciting because you can't just rename it. You know,
yes.
You have to just hang on to whatever dumb thought it is that you had whenever you had it.
Well, I'm glad to know what podcast I'm on now.
Yeah, you're on.
I'm in.
Yes. Yeah. It's just about being old and playing video games. Yeah. And we're not really even that old yet, but no, I'm future proof.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Because you will be old.
Yeah.
You will be an old gamer.
You were talking about, 30-year-old games, and I'm not even 30 yet.
Wait, how old are you?
I'm 29.
No.
We'll be 30 in August.
That's crazy. Now, am
I messing up the whole thing? You're like, I need to, we can just can the record at this point.
Let's go.
Welcome to the Old Gamers Almanac. I'm your host, Hunter Donaldson. I'm here with a guest, first-time guest,
mm-hmm.
Has never listened to the show.
No.
Didn't even know what it was called.
Because you didn't give me a chance.
Because I didn't tell you. It's Nick Brockman.
Yep.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. And
I'm glad to be here.
Some portions of the audience might already know who you mm-hmm. are. Some might not. For those that don't know who you are, what is it that you do? Why are you here?
Well, I'm friends with Hunter.
Yeah.
Recent
Heck
friends.
Yeah. Heck yeah, we're friends.
But yeah, no, I live here in Minneapolis where Hunter moved to and I work at what?
You're just local guy. Like that's what it is. Well, you're local.
Well,
so.
I mean, I don't, all right. I'll start. Yeah, I work at Leader Games. Yeah. I don't know how much these people know. I don't know if they know what that is.
I work
at a board game company. I'm a board game developer.
Yeah. You've worked on stuff like Root.
Like Root and,
you've worked
and
on
Oath
Root.
And
yeah,
Vast
you worked on Oath.
And right upcoming now, Arcs.
Yes.
And Ahoy.
And you're working on Ahoy.
Yeah, all that stuff.
You're working on an Ahoy expansion.
Exactly.
Okay?
Yep.
That's going to be hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be the hot. You know what? Here's my prediction. The Ahoy expansion, bigger than Arcs.
Oh, okay? Yeah. I think they're geared up. People aren't ready. That's what people don't expect. But yeah.
That's going to be the turn.
Yeah.
Is instead, because science fiction, have we had enough of it? There's my headline right there.
Yeah, Dune's coming out.
Dune Part 2 in theaters. Also, we saw Dune Part 2 together.
We saw Dune together, yep.
Actually, let's open this up.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Dune. I am actually going to do an episode with someone else that's on this show about Dune Part 2.
Sure.
But it would be funny if we got just a little teaser of it. And here's the teaser. What did you think about Dune Part 2? Did you like it?
So
did you think it was cool?
As you know, I hadn't seen Dune Part 1 until the night before.
Yes.
I procrastinated
on it. I messaged you and I was like, we're going to go see Dune Part 2, right? And you were like,
sure.
I guess so.
I'm down to clown. I mean, I'm down to clown mm-hmm. is what you're, I mean... Perhaps learning, but yeah,
yes.
No, I was, so we watched Dune 1 the night before, which I would consider If I wasn't going to watch Dune 2 the next night, I would consider a near pointless film. That would be, but I did.
It felt like homework.
I was planning to watch Dune 2 the next day, yes. And therefore I was like, "That's kind of cool."
Yeah,
and I'm pretty excited to see how it goes.
See, you wouldn't have wanted to wait a year. Is what we're getting.
Yeah. I think the original release would have been very not for me. No, Dune 2 is cool. It's a good time. Yeah. It's a lot of good space vibes. I think some people are talking about Timothy Chalamet like it's like an acting performance for the decade.
Dude, I'm so glad you're saying that.
Yeah, I don't get that at all. Yeah. He wasn't bad. I didn't have an issue with him, but I was not.
I have been teasing everywhere. I mean, I know the people that, you know, I know the freaks are out there listening to everything I say and hanging on every word.
Of course.
It's not just me. surely. I've been teasing an actor's tier list where I'm going to stream myself, because I love talking smack on people that I don't think are that great.
Sure.
And Timmy, it's just like you said, he's not bad.
No.
He occasionally goes through these hype waves where people will praise him a lot. And I think y'all need to chill a little bit, because just because he's a little boy, I mean, he's like 14, okay?
Something like that, yeah. He's young.
He's literally, he just learned to talk, you know? And y'all are over here acting like he's some sort of genius just because he can remember the words on the page and say them into the camera, sort of, you know? But yeah, no, I would not say, I mean, he's kind of doomed. Him and Zendaya both are sort of doomed when it comes to Dune, because they are two younger actors, fresher, and they are surrounded by like a murderer's row of like the greatest talent. Actors right now.
Yeah, yeah.
So like they're those people are not playing main characters. So that means they even have that sort of Mercutio, like, oh no, they're not the main character, but when they're on screen, it's really
fun. They're
gonna
eat. Yeah, for sure.
So like I think that's kind of where I've landed as far as both of their acting in these movies is like, it feels weaker, but also, you know, a younger actor is a worse actor. This is like absolutely true to me. Like, in order to become a great actor, you have to have lived an entire life.
Yep.
And you'll be really great from like 65 to 70, and then you have to retire. Like, that's when you get good, to me. So like, they are just so early on that journey. There was one part in particular where there was like a close up on Zendaya when towards the end of the movie, Timmy and Zendaya do not get together.
Correct.
And Timmy announces his marriage to Florence Pugh quite suddenly.
Yeah.
And it cuts to close up, and she's supposed to be like kind of bummed about this news, and she makes kind of a pouty face, and it really kind of it's just this one moment, and for me, it just completely took me out of the movie. And it's just like, I feel it's
even,
this thing of like,
even
man,
Timothy's
come on.
Announcement was a little, but it was just like a little like, I'm not a Dune person. I didn't know the lore prior, but I was like, oh, this is very like high school. Like, I'm going with Stacy. A little bit, just had a little bit too much of that for me, at least. It was kind of funny. Yeah.
I think it's funny that they included that plot point at all, because I think it easily could have been cut from the story. Yeah. And in the story, it's much worse because Chani is also kind of like cool to be swept aside, which gives off very like patriarchal vibes, but and not in a like a very like, you know, self-critical way, just kind of in a like, yeah, I mean, that's how it works if you're the big boy in charge, you know.
Yeah,
you just point at someone and say, this is my wife now, and that's my concubine, and everybody's gonna be chill with this because I'm in charge. But yeah, that's our review of Dune Part 2. Pretty good.
Yeah, no, it was a good time.
Pretty good.
I would see it.
Yeah. I mean, you did see it. Sure. So you did.
It's fair. Fair.
You know what? I would see that movie I saw. Actually, give it a... I have to tease because, you know, I can't unveil my score because everybody's just waiting.
It's a big reveal.
Yeah, it's a big reveal.
Sure.
And I know... And because, you know, I'm going to want to come up with a number that frustrates, so that you got to build engagement. Okay. But you know, rank it out of 10 or letterbox style, however you
want
to do
it. Oh, you want me Dune 2?
Yeah. Give me a ranking. Something to make people go, or
we're going to give it like a, just like a, seven.
You almost said six. I heard six.
Six was coming out.
There was a six coming out.
There was a six. it requires watching Dune 1, which I think is an important thing to happen. And again, Dune 1's not a bad movie, but it's more of a Dune 1's like a collection of nice wallpapers.
Oh, they are killer screensavers.
Yeah, I mean, what I said was, that's what I said. I was like, every screen from Dune 1 is like some gamer's background on their computer, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Now, we have a 7.3, Dune 2.
Ooh, 7.3. Ooh, Pitchfork kind of style. Yeah. 7.3. Not best new movie.
No,
still, you know, it's going to be featured on the site. You know, for sure. People will flock
I think
to
we
it.
Should see it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go to IGN 7. It was just the easy.
It makes you feel like the worm.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, yeah. So there you go. You're getting extra podcast content right there. You just got a review of Dune Part 2. And we haven't even revealed what this episode is about yet. This episode. So we're going to, I think the purpose of this episode is to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Daytona USA, a game released by Sega. One of Sega's many beautiful blue sky, fast car arcade racing games. Obviously, I'm a really big Outrun guy. I love Outrun. I think Outrun is an incredible game and kind of set a tone for me that I have lived my whole life in. So Daytona, I would say, is kind of that again. But the thing that we've come back to on this show many, many times is, how do you talk about an arcade game?
Okay.
Like, really? I mean, do I drown them in history? I'm not a smart guy. It's not a smart time for me.
Sure.
And I could tell you a few things. That guy that wears the leather jacket that makes all the Yakuza games, he worked on this. I don't even remember his name off the top of my head. Sure. You know who I'm talking about, though.
If you know, you know.
Yeah. The reason that Yakuza is cool is because of this guy wearing leather jackets.
And I think, to be clear, it should be known, like, when you asked me about my experience with Daytona USA, have played it.
Have
it was pretty much the maximum of my...
Yeah.
Have played it at a bar or so, you know, have played it while the parents were bowling is kind of my whole experience with it.
Yes. And honestly, for me, this is just an excuse to throw in the Daytona song, which is playing right now. And you have to hear that. It's pretty good.
Well, it did. Yeah, that did hit even when we were at the arcade. When it hit again, I was like, you forget things that you remember.
Mm-hmm. You forget things that you remember.
No, for real, though. And it was a moment I was like, oh, yep. And then the little... other little aesthetic thing was the little camera buttons on the left that light up depending on which one you're pressing. The moment I sat down, I was like, oh my gosh, the little camera buttons on the left. It's all those little things.
But yeah, so there's a complex problem of trying to talk about an arcade game in a podcast format, which is that I think that it doesn't really make very much sense because arcade games are so sensory and so specifically set to... Here's this. Like, Daytona is three courses. Mm-hmm. That's all it is.
Yep.
We've got three maps. We've got three songs. Mm-hmm. We've got two cars. Mm-hmm. Okay? I've already described the entire game.
It's a racing game.
It's a racing
game. Yep.
And it feels good. And I know I will... The historical context I will give you from reading the magazines... I'm not going to cite anything particular this week. This is... We're loose right now, is what it is. What I noticed in the research for this one is that... It's all just about the graphics. Hmm. Apparently, when this game came out in 1994, nobody had ever seen a game that looked as good as Daytona. Like, and that might be kind of mind-blowing, because I didn't really think about that much, is the idea that for a period of time in 1994, probably until, like, the N64 even, Daytona was, like, the best 3D graphics that you could get.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy,
like, but if you do think about, like, okay, so in 1994, we've got Daytona... What do we have home console wise that's 3D? We have like Star Fox.
Yeah.
And that's like those horrible polygons. Not to, you know, I mean, Star Fox is cool or whatever, but like it's...
In comparison,
like Daytona looks like a PS2 game.
It's so graphic. It's so textured. Yes. It's so, yeah.
The cars look so... They're like smooth even. Mm-hmm. They don't look like super blocky.
Yeah.
And even compared to other stuff that you could get in the arcade... I mean, I just don't feel like anything was on that level at that point. Like later, the PlayStation is going to come out the next year in 1995, and one of its launch titles is Ridge Racer. And the thing about Ridge Racer is, yes, it's 3D environments. Ridge Racer comes out, has one track. They used to sell video games that you would buy at a store and take them home, and they would have one track on them. And then Ridge Racer doesn't even have you don't see your car. They don't.
You're only inside.
It's a car POV. It's like a first person car POV because we don't have the budget. We don't have the budget to do the car too. Yeah. Like that's too much. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like where we're gonna be in a year. And Daytona is here just being like a PS2 game.
Yeah.
1994.
Three camera angles you can hop, or four camera angles you can hop between two. Compared to the just in the car one.
Yeah. I it really doesn't make sense to me like why it looks as good as it does in 1994. But I also just kind of want to talk about the day that we just had, because we kind of did like kind of an incredible, it was kind of incredible
day. We had a little date.
It was a pretty good date. Yeah. It was kind of an incredible, and I'll even, look, we don't even have to get into the video game part first. We got brunch. Hear about our brunch, listeners.
I don't know.
What, it was at, what was that place called? Meteor?
Meteor was the bar, yeah.
Yeah, it's a pop, you're like, you can't believe I'm actually throwing this in.
Oh, no, I'm glad.
We are doing this. I got biscuits and gravy with mushroom gravy. It was really tasty. There, I got this cookie that I didn't like that had Easter candy inside of it. It has a peep in the center, and I have not eaten to the peep yet. And I don't want to taste it because I forget. Peeps are these things. We were talking about peeps all day too.
Yeah. It's Easter. It's because we're recording on
it's
Easter.
It's Easter. Yeah. Yeah. This is your Easter episode. Yeah. Okay. Your Daytona USA Easter episode. is that peeps are just these things where like you think they might be good. And then the second I get near one, I remember that I actually hate the sensation of them being in my mouth. Yeah. And maybe you don't agree. Like, do you like peeps?
I'm okay on them. I mean, I've had them once every couple of years. I did eat the peep donut that they had, though.
They had a peep donut,
which
too.
I did get down on.
Okay. Was that good, though? That worked out? Yeah?
It was okay.
How much was it peep-like? Because people don't like the peep
texture and the... no, it didn't have that, like, weird candy outside. And then the super soft marshmallow.
It's, like, fluffy in a way that... That, like doesn't feel it's one of these, there's certain mouth feels that don't taste like food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it kind of goes back to something actually kind of primal. Mm-hmm. I have this like test that I sort of do in my mind where I imagine that I'm in like the woods and I've never been to a restaurant before.
Okay.
I'm just like someone that lives in the woods. Mm-hmm. And then I stumble upon this food. Mm-hmm. Does my woods brain register that I should eat this?
Sure.
And a peep.
Yeah.
If we're just walking through the woods and
see
I see
this
a
little
peep,
object,
I'd be like, no, that's, I shouldn't eat. I wouldn't bring that back to my family.
It's just too manufactured. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would not assume that you can eat that. Yeah. And I would not serve
and
it.
And therefore, I will not eat it.
Yeah. Yeah. I would not hunter gather a peep, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we started with brunch. And then we went, I got to meet your pets.
Yeah. You got to come over and meet
your
pets.
Wonderful pets.
Yep.
Princess and Gadget and Zuko.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I know their names because they're wonderful. Zuko is an orange cat. And as longtime listeners know, I'm a really big orange cat person and instantly bonded with Zuko. And
how does Zuko rank up?
Zuko's excellent orange cat.
Yeah.
First of all, I noticed that Zuko was kind of like, I want to be near you, but like, please don't look at me too much. And I was like, oh, okay, I get this game.
He's royal.
Yes, he is royal. Didn't look Zuko in the eye. Zuko's sort of like Martin Scorsese on set. I don't know if you know this. You're not allowed to look at Martin Scorsese in the eyes.
Okay.
I knew somebody that worked on, they were like art, they worked on Boardwalk Empire, the first episode, which was directed by Marty.
Okay.
And they said that they were like working on set stuff. And it was the only time that he ever got close to Marty. He comes on set. And the way that works is everybody has to stop working and they all have to be quiet. And they have to look down. And they're told they can't look him in the eyes. This is true. This is a true story. I'm not going to out who it
was. Of course.
Because I don't want to.
You don't want to burn that bridge.
But yeah, it was somebody I knew who's an artist. And
incredible.
That is crazy. But Zuko has that kind of energy, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I didn't look him in the eyes. And he rewarded me by almost immediately jumping in my lap. While I'm eating biscuits and gravy, which I, of course, had no problem with.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would have fed him the biscuits and gravy, but I didn't know if that was right. So
he probably couldn't handle it. He's got a delicate belly.
Yeah. Delicate belly.
He can only eat this very specific.
Yeah. Because he is Prince Zuko.
Prince Zuko, after all, yeah.
But yeah, so I got some good time with your pets, which I really appreciate. And then we went to this place called Starcade.
Mm-hmm.
Which I had low expectations of for no reason that made sense. I just thought like maybe this, you know what it is?
It's
because we're in St. Paul.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Yeah. I already heard you have the St. Paul doubt. I think it's a Midwest doubt. I think you're coming in with a lower,
I think, you know, yeah, maybe there's a little bit of like New York stank on me. Where I'm like coming into this town sort of feeling like, well, and it's dumb because everything that y'all have here, I have thus far been really impressed by.
Maybe you're, really you're happy with. You're like true. You're Midwestern at heart. You just didn't know.
I was Midwest the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. Because honestly, I don't think there's actually that much difference between Midwesterners and Southerners. Yeah. So like really, what is it? Snow? That's it. Mm-hmm. It's like instead of snow in the South, you have like, you know, humid heat, swampy heat.
Yeah, swampy.
Which is gross. But you know, I'd take snow probably over it because I hate the heat. I'm like a big heat hater.
Nah, I'd get too sweaty.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be way too sweaty for everybody.
You'll see sometime I'm a sweaty.
Yeah, yeah.
I get sweaty.
I said that like I had
you
some
did.
Sort of
you did start to say like as if you knew, and I was like, "That's. I don't think you've seen that yet." But no, I'll get.
Yeah.
We don't need to do. Maybe I have, but maybe I didn't know.
No.
Was I sweaty today?
I promise you were in no way sweaty. I just, because sometimes, I just like catch a drift and then I'm like, oh, I'm just going to go for that. But yeah, so we went to Starcade, which this is just going to kind of be a bit of a Yelp review. Walked in with low expectations. And it is, no joke, y'all, maybe the best arcade I've ever been
to. It was really good. I mean, so Yes. I have been in the location nearby multiple times, and I've like looked through the window and been like, oh, I should check that out. Oh, I should check that out. And I had never been like, wow, I'm kind of really should have checked it out much sooner. It's pretty dope. Yeah.
So what it is, the collection is incredible. Although I will say, sadly, they do not have Tapper. But that was the only thing I was wanting.
Yeah.
For.
Sure.
They had Asteroids. They had Asteroids Deluxe. They had a number of those, like, how do you describe them? They're those Japanese style cabinets that you sit down at and play fighting.
Yeah, like the like white ones with the kind of further back tilted screen. Yes. Yeah, they had multiple of those with Tekken, Street Fighter, MVC, everything set up on them.
Everything. They had what else did we get down on? They had really the point here is that everything that they had was clean and well maintained.
Yeah, functioning.
Very well maintained. They had the X-Men beat 'em up.
Yeah,
the seven player. And it has, you know, how it has those, has that two screen effect. The two screens are next to each other. And there's always the one screen looks really bad and the other screen looks okay. They both looked like almost perfect, basically. Yeah. You could tell the one was a little bit worse than the other. But I've never seen that in my life. I don't even know how you could maintain those.
No, like, I don't know.
How do you maintain a CRT?
I mean, so many of them were anymore. So, like, such of the big production ones, too. I mean, I don't know if you played the one, too, where it was the, the X-Wing one where you'd go into the little thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, that was one where I was just like, I couldn't believe how maintained, like,
yeah,
for such an old thing.
So old.
Yeah. What good condition it was, how, yeah.
Yeah, with like, it's like the X-Wing game where you're hitting the Death Star with like the vector graphics.
Yes, yeah.
And it looked new. Like it just looked like,
yeah, it was
like
crazy.
How do you have this like this? And then, of course, Asteroids and Asteroids Deluxe looked incredible. Those games almost always look incredible because of their whatever you call that type of screen. It's like a Vectatron or something like that. Not a Trinitron. It's just a it's not. It's a V word. I don't remember.
Yeah,
I know
what you're talking about.
But
it's just called a vector monitor.
I'll insert it here later. Sure. I'll make myself
smarter. A little magic, yeah.
I do that all the time. I will just sound dumb and then fix it. It was a really incredible place. And real quick, what do you feel like, and it doesn't have to be games that you played today,
mm-hmm.
What do you feel like is your like top five or your Mount Rushmore of like arcade cabinet experiences that you can have?
Oh,
like
boy.
What's your biggest ones?
So, I mean, genuinely, I already forgot the name of it. I can't believe it. But the one I showed you today where you're raising the marble up with the ball. Oh, my gosh. Insert the name for me here.
Yeah, yeah. Here we go.
It's called Ice Cold Beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you'll bar suds or something like that.
Yes, yeah.
That game is awesome. There's a video game that was inspired by it that came out a few years called Tumbleseed, and it's a roguelike version of it too, where you're navigating this ball up a background that has holes in it with a just a pole as your thing. And I mean, yeah, Hunter saw. I was, yeah. I lock in on that game. I'm not good at a lot of games.
You're actually good at that. Yeah. And I didn't even understand how to move the ball at first, just because of a lack of just physics understanding. Yes. I was like, how do I move the ball? And you were just like, well, if you put one lower, then it'll slide
down a little bit,
because that's how physics works. Yeah, and I was like, oh. And then you did it, and you could. I mean, you were like.
Oh, just the tightest little gaps.
So tight. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you had a lot of control of that.
Yeah, no, that's a really satisfying game. I love that one. Man, what are my big arcade ones? I some of the more modern ones. I love Piano Keys.
Piano Keys.
Oh, dude, that's just the one where you got the big old slappy piano in front of you.
Oh, and yeah,
the
piano's yeah. coming I know down. This game.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. Piano Keys, great one.
That game is awesome.
Man, top five arcade. Yeah, you got two.
Yeah. I'll throw in with some of mine. Yours, got Super Off-Road.
Okay.
Because we played a little bit of it.
Yes, we did.
They had an incredibly well maintained. You know, you've got your three monster trucks. Monster? Did I just say monster? Three monster trucks, and you're ramping, and it's that kind of like top down. View of a race course where you sort of your left and right is changing constantly
as you're turning.
It's the
Kirby Air Ride.
The Kirby Air Ride of arcade games. But it feels this like it just has this like really good steering wheel that's just so fun.
Oh,
you
can just whip it.
Yes,
spins 180.
You're just whipping
the
it
metal
around.
Pedal slapping against the floor.
The game also has like a surprising amount of depth to it, like lots of upgrades, mm-hmm. lots of like you know, the nitro economy of it.
Oh,
like
yeah,
very important to manage your nitro. Yeah, I would say, and honestly, in general, there are a lot of racing games that I would say, like racing to me is like kind of an arcade thing.
Yeah,
and I've never really been the guy. That, you know, I enjoy some Gran Turismo sometimes, mm-hmm. But in general, I'm not going to invest in like a steering wheel at home.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to get really deep into like the simulator aspect.
Yeah, I'm not a huge racing game at home either. Yeah.
But when you're at the arcade, you can sit down in the thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And there's something that's always been really special to me about that experience.
Have you played any of the modern, like the Super Mario Kart? Arcade machine ones.
Oh, I love those.
Those are so sweet. Yeah, they take the photo of you and put the thing over it and whatnot. Yeah, that I played that a couple weeks ago at a different place here, and I was super impressed. I was joked about it. I was like, how do you get one of these in your house?
Yeah,
just the two machines next to each other.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would be an incredible thing to just have in your home. But yeah, I mean, I just think there's something special about racing, and I think it's because you are actually sitting down in the seat. To be honest, I would say that Daytona has been one, like Daytona and Outrun, like just the idea of the Sega arcade racer has just kind of always been with me as like, yeah, those games are fun. Mm-hmm. Like, and I just think it always is this thing of prioritizing silliness, sure. of saying that like, yes, the player can crash, and when you crash, we're gonna have a good time.
Yeah,
with that,
a little grab, a little cinematic. So the camera's gonna pan out. Oh, we're gonna show them tumble. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Daytona, in particular, will blow your ass up.
Yeah.
It will say like, "Hey, actually, you drove like too far into the wall, and we're just gonna like, you know, launch you over it in a way that doesn't make sense, where mm-hmm. the physics make no sense at all, and then just kind of restart you in the center of the track and say, hey, that's good. You got that. Outrun is kind of the same way, where it's so comical the way that Outrun is like, it's so pretty. It has pretty music. You're literally in a Ferrari. And then as you're trying to make the turn, if you hit the billboard, it's so... like actually kind of sickening.
No, I peeked over your shoulder at the right, you were playing, and I just peeked over your shoulder to watch right as you crashed, and I was reminded what a like truly horrific tumble.
Dude,
they put the car and the two people through.
Really
the
bad.
Car takes a spill, and the two people go falling, and then they crawl back into the car, mm-hmm,
and
you go
and then
again.
They're just right back in. And yeah, it's everything's chill. And there's just something about that attitude that I feel like Sega has always brought to their arcade racing games that I just feel like is really special.
Yeah.
And I think that Daytona is like kind of a worthy part of that story. So if you listen to one of the very first games that we talked about on the show, I think it was like the fifth game, was Outrun.
Okay.
So in a way, I feel kind of precious about this as like this is, you know, another game sort of in that lineage. Mm-hmm. And there's not a whole lot to talk about afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, sure. Moving forward in time, the Sega arcade racer is not really going to dominate because Sega has like so many rough times ahead.
Sure.
It is really strange too to me that, so one thing that is kind of strange about the next couple years for Sega is that with Daytona, they have this moment where they have this machine that can make 3D graphics, can make them look really pretty.
Sure.
And they, what they're about to do in the next year is unveil the Sega Saturn. And the thing about the Sega Saturn, I don't know if you know this, is that it was not designed to do 3D graphics. That was not a priority of it, which is so, I that's such a crazy thing to me that they're like, that Sega is over here being like, hey, let's make like maybe the best 3D graphics anyone's ever seen. And then when they're like, what are people going to like in the home? They're just, well, like,
we don't need that.
Ah, man, probably not that. I wouldn't worry about it too much. Mm-hmm. And so therefore when the Saturn then comes around, anything 3D on the Saturn looks worse,
sure,
basically, than it looks on anything else. And or if it even comes to the Saturn at all, mm-hmm, because it's like, it was notoriously difficult to like kind of get that kind of working in there. But yeah, okay, so you've got with that one game whose name we can't remember.
Yeah, but neither of us can remember, even though they had like three of them there.
How do you feel about, like, do you got any like Atari stuff that you got love for?
Oh, or,
like,
gosh. I mean, I played... You got me against the fence here. I remember when I was at the... I'm going to go back to the Marcus Theaters, where I was in the arcade. What was I playing? I played the Mars Attacks arcade, or the pinball game.
Oh,
the one that
yeah.
had... Yes. The big gimmick of it was one of the first pinball things, or at least that I had seen, where it had the TV screen implementation,
mm-hmm,
where you would like shoot things against the digital display as it would happen. And I'm going to just complete. I don't know about all these arcade games you talk about. I'm bringing it back to the mountain climbing ball rolling game where you would win the bouncy ball.
Whoa.
That you would roll all the way to the top.
Wow.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Yeah.
We got the little handle. Yep. That's and you need crazy. A rocket all the way up to the top to get it through the little thing.
I haven't thought about that. I don't even know what to call that.
I don't know. Rock to the top or something is what it's called. Yeah.
Top rock.
Yeah. That Dang. Game was a, yeah, that was a an eater of the, I like ball-based games.
Yeah, it's I was about to say, learn. There's, yeah, it's no, like a physics thing.
There is, yeah. I'm also a big Super Monkey Ball guy.
Yeah.
I play the arcade version of that, yes, where it has the giant ball in the middle. Dude. That's a good one.
Dude. Yeah, what is you're attracted to specifically ball-based like yeah. physics stuff?
Yeah,
that's cool.
Love an orb.
How come? So is does the Ahoy expansion have a giant ball?
I don't want to tell you about that yet.
That would be pretty tight.
Big
you propose like a new arcs plot line. Yeah. It's like what they're the ball people, and the that's, ball just rolls around.
It's
on
funny
the board.
Because the other game I told you about today, I'm realizing was I mentioned Golden Tee. Which the other the other notable Golden Tee thing is, yeah, did the big ball in the middle for rolling it. But yeah, no, I played a ton of Golden Tee back at the arcades too. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, a lot of Golden Tee.
What a funny like kind of through line to find for you. Well, yeah, okay. So here's the thing that I think we found at this place that really kind of blew me away. That I've just kind of been saving in this discussion, but I want to talk a little bit about Groove Coaster, which is a rhythm game.
Yeah.
And I thought that you couldn't find it in the United States. I've heard about it on podcasts. Mm-hmm. What did you think of Groove Coaster?
Groove Coaster was awesome.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Groove Coaster is sick.
Groove Coaster was at its core, I mean, we played the beginner levels because a seemingly pretty simple rhythm game. You know, you've got mm-hmm. the directions, you've got two buttons, you've got two buttons at the same time, all that. But I think certainly the biggest conceit is the giant, like, floor-to-ceiling display in front of you that shows what I could almost only call, and I mean, probably because one of the songs we did was it, but, like, this Undertale-esque graphic where you're, like, flying through the song doing the beats.
Yeah.
And it, like, changes to a platform where you're going left and right. Or it even reminded me a bit of the game Rhythm Doctor.
Oh,
if
I
you're familiar
that
with
game.
That, okay, it's a just a rhythm game, a one-button rhythm game that has a lot of weird kind of conceits too, and it reminded mm-hmm. me a ton of that. But that's one of those games where, like, I mean, being at the arcade is the whole thing. I mean, we were there. There's three other people there, and we booted up, and it is so loud. It is so loud. Yeah, and you're smacking the buttons.
It felt rude to play.
It did, yeah. There's some guy playing a fighting game behind us, like, labbing his, you know, like, Eddie Gordo combos, and we're just smacking it up on this thing. Yeah.
Dude, but what a game.
Yeah.
And it was, like, so exciting to see it. And I think it kind of, like, in a way, sort of set a tone for this arcade that was just like, wow, this place has like special stuff.
Oh, for
that
sure.
You just wouldn't normally see.
I mean, I think the thing that I, yeah, took away certainly was the, as just a game nerd, it was like the amount of time it spanned. I mean, it had some of the oldest things I could think of or see, you know, and then, yeah, just brand new cutting edge stuff that like, I haven't even seen before here. So
Yeah, it was like it had a museum curated quality to it, but it also had like a personal idiosyncratic quality to it. Yeah. It had Power Stone 2 for some reason, which I didn't even know. I don't even think that actually is an arcade game. I think it's just on those cabinets. You can just put in whatever.
Yeah, I think a few of those they're able to just put pretty much anything.
They're just
on them.
Throwing stuff down. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, Power Stone 2, which is technically a 4-player multiplayer game that was only set up for 2, which is also hilarious.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just a Starcade in St. Paul. Got to check it out. I think it's an incredible place. Here's what I want to at this point, because I mean, When I do podcast stuff with you, it's generally to talk specifically about, you know, board games, about your work with Leader Games. But I kind of just want to spend a little bit of time here because I think people are, you know, familiar with you through board game stuff.
Sure.
But who are you as like a gamer in general? Like if you're just like in, you know, if you're just cooling off from a hard day of board game development, if you're in the board game mines and you're going to come home and boot up a game, what would that be? What would that look like?
Yeah, I mean, I come from a, I always said, like, I was raised in a Nintendo household.
Yeah,
you know, like, growing up, I remember getting a GameCube. It was, like, the huge thing on Christmas for us.
Yeah.
So, for myself, it's still always been, is this true? I have never personally owned an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Nice.
My brother later on in life would like get a PlayStation 4 and whatnot. He'd keep it in his room mainly and stuff. Yeah. I huge fond memories of watching my brother play God of War and stuff, but like never played that type of stuff. So like platformers, Mario, all that kind of stuff. I mean, lately I've been playing Pikmin 4 has been a really good wind down time.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that soon on this show.
Yeah, not even a joke about the ball-based games. I mean, I played a ton of Super Monkey Ball is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
There's a few others that I, Marble It Up. I played a
Marble
ton of,
It Up.
Yeah, Marble It Up, which was the same team who did Marble Blast Ultra, which was a Xbox arcade exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And I have such fond memories of playing Marble Blast Ultra in the basement with a couple of my buddies. And yeah, so Marble It Up came out. It's another great marble game.
Damn.
And then, I mean, like modern stuff or like current stuff. I mean, I've been playing Balatro, of course.
Yes.
I have that. I have that Survivors-like brain too. I've been playing Deep Rock Galactic Survivor.
Oh yeah,
If I need to not think, that game I think is sometimes actively detrimental to somebody's brain.
But not Balatro. Balatro is fine.
I think those games get unfair comparisons. Balatro requires so much actual math and thinking if you want to do good.
If
at
you
some
do
point,
it that way,
or if you're trying to play,
I'm cowboy style.
But no, like, yeah, I mean the. There's a reason isn't it like the original Vampire Survivors developer was, he worked on casino games.
Oh, I did not know that.
You could fact check me, of course.
Yeah.
But I am 90% sure that's true. And I mean, and you can feel it in the design. I mean, the guy knows how to just keep a butt in a seat.
Wow.
Just with feedback. And
that's
so,
true.
And,
oh my
and if,
God.
And if you know that fact and you're playing them, you do start to have that little moment where you're like, what if I was watching myself do this?
Yeah.
What would I think?
I have a funny story about Vampire Survivors. Mm-hmm. I was seeing someone who, she didn't know what a Steam Deck was.
Oh, sure.
I mean, obviously, she knew what a Switch was. It wasn't like it was like hard to explain to her. But what I mean was,
video games in your hand.
Yeah. She was hanging out at my house one day, and I was just kind of like, I'm working on stuff, but if you want to hang out, maybe like I'll just kind of do my work here and try and get it done. Mm-hmm. And then we'll like go do something. It was just like kind of that sort of day that you have with somebody. And I remember I handed her the Steam Deck and I was like, do you just want to play this? And she was like, oh, what all can I play on it? And Vampire Survivors was like new. And I was like, oh, you should check out this game, Vampire Survivors. And then I started working and like some stuff came up and I actually ended up having to work like a lot more than I thought. Sure. And this is not going to make me look great, y'all.
No, no.
I sort of forgot that she was waiting out there.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. This is where this story kind of inverts. I was just like swallowed up in it. And I finally like am at a point where I'm like, oh my God, I'm done working, but I've just left her out. What does she do? Mm-hmm. And then I walk out and she's been playing Vampire Survivors for like 6 hours.
Yeah.
And is basically done. Like I didn't even get to play Vampire Survivors. I had to like wait for it to be on a different platform.
Yeah.
Or like, I guess make I could have file, reset it, but sure. It was just like, I felt like she had like experienced it for me. And so I didn't get to do it now. And she didn't even notice.
Yeah.
She had no way. She was like, oh, you're done? Like, she wasn't like,
just ready to
that
go.
Took forever. She was just like completely sucked into it.
No,
it was like, dude, it's like almost nighttime now. Yeah. Like, and you were just zoned in. It'll trick you. Yeah. So, yeah, I think that, you know, and it's funny to talk about these types of games in the context of Daytona.
Of course.
Because one of the things I love about the Sega Arcade Racer is that you just kind of do it, and then you're like, okay, I'm good.
Time to move on.
Yeah, it's just kind of this, like, sweet thing. Like, I would probably, if I had a Daytona cabinet, I guarantee you I would probably play it once a day.
Sure.
But for, like, 2 minutes, you know? And then it's just
solid once of your time.
Then I'm good. And, I do kind of like that, and I respect that, of just something that's trying to sit there and be like, listen, this is trying to be pretty.
Yep.
It's trying to, like, show you a cool experience.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, it's light on content, I would say high on beauty, basically. Sure. And I feel like we don't get enough of that type of experience anymore. This is, now it's time to put on old person hat.
But yeah. No, I mean, getting a little, productive. I mean, even I was sitting there playing just Asteroids and I was like, man, this is like really good in a way.
Yes.
That's like, in a way that is really tricky to even like kind of quantify.
Yes.
And I guess that's kind of, I'd have to think about it a little bit more to know exactly what I mean. But yeah, I was kind of really stricken, especially, again, being there with so many other things, you know, again, mm-hmm. all the way up to the cutting edge and things mm-hmm. all the way back to Asteroids. I was like, man, but we were sitting there, I was like, kind of still want to just play Asteroids.
Yeah.
Like, I think you even saw it happen after a little bit. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, sure, I'll just play this because Hunter's playing it. And then I was like, okay, hold on. There's a lot going on here I can kind of hook into.
Well, Asteroids is really special because of that it's good game feel at a time where, and I think one of the reasons that it sometimes catches people off guard like that is that they sit down with it and you look at it and it's so rudimentary,
of course,
you know? Yeah. And it hits you as like, wow, this is like one of the most basic games of all time. And you start playing it and even the art design starts feeling more impressive as you play it, because you're like, actually, this is really pretty.
Yeah.
Look how smooth all this is moving.
Yeah.
You know? And the brightness of it is so strange. It almost feels like it's like getting, as you play it, you feel like the light from the game is like doing something to your
eye.
In
a way that maybe does also feel bad. No, I was like, dim room, I'm like, I gotta go to my eye doctor after this.
Yeah. It's like, I'm not sure what this is doing to me. And then, as you're getting used to how the game feels, you start realizing that it's actually like kind of an incredible feeling game of like the way you're moving your ship around and like the momentum of it. Yeah, dude. I think absolutely that Asteroids is one of the greatest games of all time.
I'm gonna add to this. I think I'm realizing, I think part of the something that you miss when you go to all the controller stuff, and I'm realizing it there with a lot of stuff I was playing, is the usage of specific fingers is just not applied the same way once we've switched to computers and controllers.
Yes.
And I mean, like, the almost odd input system of Asteroids is like also what gets you so invested.
Exactly. Yeah. The hyperspace button is such a good example of this. Yeah. The hyperspace button is your panic button.
Yeah.
If you're about to be hit by an asteroid, you press the hyperspace button, you disappear, you reappear.
Yeah.
And you might reappear in a place where you're instantly going to get killed. It's not fair. It just says, hey, you could press this. But the way it's positioned, you really have to take...
It's out of reach.
Yeah, you have to slap your hand down. Doubt it. You got to take your hand off
something.
Something. Yeah. And you're using everything, yes. Basically, yeah. All the time.
Yeah.
So there is no like real room for that.
Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. This is we're now kind of at the gimmick of this show, which okay. I feel like I have not actually explained to you.
No, I didn't know there was a gimmick.
So there is a gimmick that we've been doing from the beginning. Although I think we've kind of waxed and waned as far as how important we think it is.
Sure.
And this will be very funny to do with you actually, because we have a list of 100 games
okay.
that we have talked about on this show.
Okay.
And we rank those games.
Okay.
But the way that we do it now. This is great. This is why it's great that you're here. So what I have for you is a list of 100 games.
Mm-hmm.
We can add Daytona. We do not have to add Daytona.
I see. Sure.
But if we do add
something has to go.
We have to kill something.
Sure.
And you're the guest.
Sure.
You will not have to live with the fallout of this decision.
No.
And I kind of want you to figure it out.
Sure. So let me see this list.
There's the list.
Okay.
You can you can comment on anything. Maybe it would be best, actually. I scrolled you down a little bit. Maybe
I went back
best.
To the top.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
I'll start hitting. So I'm obviously going to be less sympathetic to something I haven't played.
Yes, of course.
Those are certainly. Yes. So sorry for any of those people who things I haven't played. You are at risk already.
Yes, be selfish about it.
You're already at risk. I have, in fact, recently played Daytona.
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers 3. I mean, I could give you a rate on all these. We don't need to do that.
But yeah, what do you think about Super Mario Bros. 3 being
gonna
number
stay. Hollow Knight's going to stay. Oh, StarCraft. Yeah. I don't know. I didn't play a lot of StarCraft. Whoa. But watch out.
Wait. Okay. Whatever you kill, I'm just saying, there's stuff. You're like, I'll kill something in the top 10. It is a ranked list.
Okay, so what we're saying
is number one is the best game of all time. What do you got?
Number three is StarCraft. This would have to turn into a much longer list.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I'll scroll faster.
We're big StarCraft guys over here.
Yeah.
Okay. No, that's kind of that could be an age difference thing. I am a little bit older than you.
Yeah. You're like slightly older than me, but you sometimes talk about it like you were born in the 1980s.
Yeah.
Barely.
I was born in 1989, to be
fair.
Yeah,
that's what I mean. Yeah,
fair.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
But I'm in there. Yeah.
Sometimes you say it, I have to remind you, I'm like, you're not, okay, well, you weren't around in 82.
I'm just old soul.
Sure.
You know, especially when it comes to like video.
All right, I'll go down to the bottom. I'll be nicer. Yeah. We'll get on, okay. Halo 2, War of the Monsters?
War of the Monsters doesn't matter, but it also just doesn't...
I'm going to be dual-phoning it for a second here.
Yeah, hell yeah. This is a wild amount of effort we're getting right now.
Oh, well, sure. The low amount of effort was killing StarCraft, and that seemed controversial, too.
Well, no. I mean, I'll let you do it.
I'll
let you do it, but I feel like, yeah...
No.
There's got to be one lower that. I mean, you could go. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you could pick anything like below 30, and I'm not even gonna care.
Sure, you won't battle.
I'll let you do it. I don't mind at all. But I will. Maybe I'll protect. I'll just put it this way. Actually, I'll make it simple. I will protect the top 10. That's the only stuff I'll protect. Everything else can die. I give you a silver bullet for the rest of it.
All right.
You say the name and it's dead.
Glad to see Super Monkey Ball's on here.
Super Monkey Ball is on there.
Ooh, is this the most recent addition? I could just talk about this list. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, no. You can talk about the list.
I'll just talk about the list the whole time if we're doing this. Is the most recent game that's on here is Penny's Big Breakaway?
That is the most recent game.
Nice.
Yeah.
I haven't played it yet. Good to hear that.
I
heard you were really into it.
I love Penny's Big Breakaway.
I had one of my friends played it and they said they didn't love it, and then I've heard a lot of people say that you need to be like, you need to kind of get in there, you need to be kind of good with the movement mechanics and whatnot, and that's kind of, I'm kind of all about that. So
you have to get the flow of the movement, but once you do, good lord, what a tight, amazing game. I love Penny's.
Since
we talked about it on the show, I will say for listeners,
my
opinion of it has, I would say, even kind of grown. And I wish I had gotten more time with it before we talked about it. Not that I would change it. I think we've definitely ranked it a little high for a new game. But I love recency bias. Recency bias is great. And we re-rank the entire list at the end of every year. So whatever you do,
worry too much
it's
here.
Not. It's we are This is about having like a silly.
And I want to kick off something that I've played because I've changed. I've come around.
See, it that's more. I believe in that.
I've not changed my mind.
Yeah, kill something you know. You know, don't kill something just because.
Most
things
on here that I know, I do agree.
You
with.
Do. You like them being I on there, huh? Yeah. What's another one that you know that you're seeing?
Oh, I mean, like a lot. I mean, RE4 remake, sure, it's good.
Yeah,
Again, that I'll say this is a hilarious like shout out my brother. I don't. I've probably played like under 4 hours of Resident Evil 4, but I've watched my brother play every freaking combination, all of it.
Cool.
I have very fond memories of watching that. That he would just mercenaries, all of that. So I give that game a 9 out of 10, and I've hardly played it. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean. It's like I know it's
you don't
it's,
have to play.
I know
you
it's
don't have to play a Resident
good.
Evil game to know that it's great. I started out as a like my Resident Evil career started out watching my uncle play the original Resident Evil, and then when 2 came out, I was like, oh, now it's my turn, and I get to play.
All right, here's
ooh,
my
ooh,
one.
Ooh, you got some? Okay, okay.
Yeah, I'll go. I think I'm gonna go for Darkest Dungeon.
Oh, Darkest Dungeon's gonna go.
I think Darkest Dungeon will go the way.
I think it's kind of been on borrowed time for a while.
Sure. I think a game that wants a little bit too much from its player before you kind of start getting that juice.
Yeah.
And especially if you're comparing it to something like Daytona, which is so exactly what you're talking about. So thoughtful of your time.
Yes.
So yeah, willing to just exist as what it is.
You know what it is? Here's what it is. We're sticking with this. So Darkest Dungeon, which was number 78, is getting knocked off. We're gonna plop Daytona right in there at number 78, Daytona USA. And here's why I think this is great, because I always like to draw connections to the game leaving and the game coming on.
Please.
And here's my connection. In Darkest Dungeon, the sky is dark. And in Daytona, the sky is pretty blue.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're going blue sky on this. We're not, and also there is a sequel to Darkest Dungeon that I'll give you a little bit of background. I've actually always felt guilty about Darkest Dungeon. I'm glad you're the one kicking it off right now, because this is how we did Darkest Dungeon.
Okay.
It was a listener request,
sure,
which is hilarious to tell you now after you've killed killed their darling.
Their favorite.
And then we loaded it up. We didn't give ourselves enough time to play it, and it's a challenging game.
No, yeah, it's, yep.
Yeah, so there was kind of an underestimation of it. And then when we did the episode, there was a little bit of, this is kind of, we don't get it, basically.
I think it's too, and that's like, I think that's my criticism. Like, I think it's too easy of a game for people who do go and get the juice to be like, oh, it's actually really good once you go there. And I'm like,
yes.
I don't think it should be that hard to arrive at
To get
at
into
that,
it.
To arrive
yeah.
at that.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's like kind of, that's a very subjective thing.
For sure.
Because Penny's Big Breakaway.
Right.
That we were just talking about is... But it's like, what are those things that you are willing to push through?
For sure.
And I think the thing about Darkest Dungeon that never set well with me about it is that the game is saying, this game's hard. And it's also saying, that's the aesthetic also.
Yeah.
Is that it is difficult and punishing and challenging. And I feel like it's like a game that's sort of frowning at me the whole time and saying, get with it. Okay?
Yeah. And I could be super wrong with this, but I think it's like the known unbeatable versus like my capacity to just do it. And like, I could be super wrong here, but I'm like, I swear Darkest Dungeon is probably unbeatable from a raw file jump up.
Mm-hmm.
Just slam it and go.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I mean, compared to what, like that ukulele game, you know,
the
2D one too, where it's like, yeah, that final level, like you can just do it from, if you're best at the game in the world, you can
right.
slam it
100%. Right.
And I think like it certainly that is a tastes thing though, for sure. From my thing. I want games that will come and go in 4 hours for me,
and
are cool with me coming in and leaving and whatnot. So
yeah, I think my favorite point of kind of this whole discussion was like just the idea that Daytona is just this—it's this pretty thing that you can come hang out with, but it doesn't want to spend, it doesn't want to spend that much time with you. It's just like, here's this nice thing to just have. Well, yeah. Hey, this was great. Thank you for coming on the show, Nick. Is there anything you want to? I was going to say, is there anything you want to plug?
Yeah, on all platforms, you can find me. No, nothing at all. I mean, yeah. Ahoy expansion.
Yes. Buy, you know, if you don't know about Leader Games and their work somehow, and you're listening to this, check it out, because I, you know, obviously I've always felt, well, not always, but for a while now, I felt really close to y'all and what y'all do. I think all the products are great, and I think Ahoy is great, and I'm excited for this expansion to come out. Whoa. Yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Well, hey, thanks, man.
Thanks, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, y'all, I just want to pop in real quick at the end here to say thank you to our Poor Richard's Almanac, which, of course, is Iowan, Brendan, Teddy's Jam for You, Zest Appeal, Cardinal Billy, Jukebox Hero, If Then, DM Anonymous, NPC Aaron, Anatrock, and Magnanimous. I want to thank you all for your support. Really appreciate it. The poll for the March bonus episode is done. It looks like it's Dune Part 2. Which we kind of alluded to already in this episode. So whatever, that's done. We got that. It was the March bonus episode, so we still owe it to you. We're going to get it to you, all right? We ultimately decided over, I don't know, like 2 months of kind of talking about it, but also not talking about it because we were super, super busy. But we decided that, hey, bonus feed doesn't really make sense. So we're just going to give everybody the bonus episodes, and we're just going to make it sort of like how we do in Space Cats, where if you want to join the Patreon, you can, but that you basically just get to decide what bonus episodes are going to be about. The general theme of bonus episodes will be that they are not about video games, that they are about other media that was coming out around 1994. Which is going to become kind of an interesting thing, because there's going to be a lot of media that you are not going to want us to talk about, that I am going to just kind of force into the bonus feed. Like a really good example would be the Three Colors trilogy. This is not something that I think you care about that much, but it is a 1994 thing. Although I guess not all three of them came out in it. I think Blue comes out in 93. And then White and Red come out in 94. But they actually just did a 4K restoration of it that I have right now that I love. And I'm going to talk about these movies. They're French movies directed by a Polish man. And whatever, you'll dig it, or you won't. I don't care. But anyways, we will have a poll for you next week for what the April bonus episode is going to be. I got to get with Sun in order to make your Dune Part 2 episode happen. I really hope we can get Matt for it as well. He has also seen the movie, so it would be cool to kind of get his take. It's very interesting to hear Matt talk about movies, actually, because he is a big movie guy, and he started his whole career as a creative person, started in the realm of wanting to talk about movies. And what's so funny about listening, I'm just going to say this, he'll probably never hear this, but the thing that I really love about Matt is that he is very, he's going to take this wrong, but he is curmudgeonly when it comes to his opinions about movies. He sounds like an old man when he talks about cinema, when he talks about, when he talks about films, he sounds like an old dude. He rejects the things that he hates. He rejects them outright. He just says, that's not good. Like, he just doesn't like, he's just like, categorically, he's like, that's bad. And then the things that he likes are, strange and difficult to piece together into a concrete identity. You know what I mean? It's that type of thing where, you know, when you know an old person and you can't really predict like what they like anymore, that's Matt when it comes to movies. I don't feel the same way about him when it comes to video games. I feel like I kind of see like the kind of avenues for him. I see the Matrix a little more. But with movies, it's like you can never tell what he's going to say, what he's going to feel. How much he'll dislike something, how much he will like something. Anyways, now I'm just talking about my friend that's not here. I should go. It is late at night, and I have to finish editing this episode, so I just want to say, you know, good morning, good night, good afternoon, whatever it is. You know what? Follow me on Instagram. I'm at Hungry Hunty. I'm also on Letterboxd if you want to look at my movie reviews. I'm working on a Backlogged, which is the Letterboxd of games. If you don't know what Letterboxd is, don't even worry about it. Don't even look it up. Don't even worry about it, okay? You just, listen, go back to sleep, And you know, or go back to work or whatever it is that you're doing. Just go back to that. Get back in the shower. Okay. This episode's over. And you know, goodbye. Good night. Good luck. Good morning. Whatever. Goodbye. See ya.
Old Gamers Almanac is produced by Matt Martins and Hunter Donaldson, with music by Knight Corey. If you liked our little show, consider giving us a 5-star rating or heading over to patreon.com/oldgamersalmanac.